We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Here once again, and we thank our friends in media who are also on, and we'll be asking questions in a little bit. This is, once again, I don't even know what week it is. I think it's about the fourth week. We continue to see growth in cases. And we'll go a little bit into the details associated with that. But once again, I want to thank everybody for following the rules. It's important that we do that so we can reduce the community spread. The governor earlier today talked about how they believe they may be close to their peak, especially in the New York City area, though there is a big growth of hospitalizations and unfortunately deaths in Long Island. We know we're a little bit behind that, so even if they reach their peak in New York City in the next week, we're still going to be behind that before we reach our peak. And the best way we can prevent further hospitalizations and deaths is by people following the rules with regards to proper physical distancing, proper social distancing. As usual, this presentation is only as valid as the time in which it was put together. It is going to change, and I'll go into a little bit of detail because we know there's going to be some changes that we need to discuss associated with the presentation and what you might be able to find on the COVID map. Because the information that we present here is actually the most accurate than it's the COVID map, just because it hasn't had an opportunity to make changes, probably isn't going to be updated for a little bit of time because we just got changes as we were basically walking into the room. So it's the most up to date, but it could change itself again. With that, I'll turn it over to Dr. Burstein to talk about cases. There has been an increase and what we're seeing. Doctor.
Thank you. So looking at the number of cases, people have died, recovered, and in isolation and in the hospital. So as of 12 p.m. today, there have been so far diagnosed by all the laboratories that we've worked with is 1,149 total positive COVID-19 tests. Since we started looking. Unfortunately, we've had 27 losses, so we want to reach out to the families and you know, send our condolences. And the good news is that 173 people have recovered. We are still following 949 people in isolation, so that's almost 1,000. That's a lot of people for our epidemiology office. And as of yesterday's New York State hospital report, there were 214 individuals with COVID-19 who were hospitalized. Of those, 106, about half, were admitted to the intensive care unit. And of those, 102, which is about 90%, so almost all of them, were receiving some type of airway assistance, mostly on a ventilator. So this is a graph looking at the hospitalizations in Erie County. Of all the Erie County hospitals, starting from the end of March until the last day of the report. So the total hospitalizations are in the blue line. The hospitalizations in the intensive care unit are in the red line. And all the patients who are on a ventilator or some type of airway support are in the green line. So you can see we continue to see a growth in the number of people who require hospitalization, and including those in the intensive care unit and those who need some type of ventilator or breathing support. I just want to call your attention to last week. there's the peak, the rise of the curve, you can see the blue curve and the red curve and the green curve was very steep. And we were very worried because the doubling time, the time it would take to double the number of admissions in a hospital was just 2 days. But now in the past couple days, you've seen that the line has is not as steep a slope, said it's leveling off a bit. And that's really reflective, that's good news, and that's really reflective of the social distancing that we did actually probably 2 weeks ago, 1 to 2 weeks ago. And so every social distancing act that we're doing now is going to be reflective of our hospital admissions and our very ill people in about 1 to 2 weeks from now. So that's why we have to keep it up. We have to keep this curve smushed. So it'll flatten it and stretch it out, but it'll flatten it because we are still within our capacity of all the hospitals, so they're able to take care of every single person that is sick and admitted so far in Erie County.
And I will just add that we do not have a shortage of ventilators at this moment. Every individual who needs one can get one. There have been no ventilators that have been moved outside of this area. So I want people to understand we haven't had our ventilators confiscated, seized, as people were worried about. And right now, the hospitals are able to handle the growth. As the doctor noted, there still is growth in the hospitalizations, but we're very happy to see at least a leveling off with regards to the ICU, though the individuals in the ICU are very sick, and almost all of them require some sort of airway assist. So we are concerned still. We have to do our best to keep that down. I hope you can see the chart today. It was very difficult yesterday because it was all white, but which made a little color change, makes it a little easier. But once again, we are seeing growth in the hospitalizations and some growth in the ICU, but we seem to have leveled off over the last few days, which is a good sign. Doesn't mean we're out of the woods, just means that we're doing a little bit better job of, I think, managing the spread in our community such that we're not getting a mass amount of people going to the hospital. The online case map, of course, almost every town has a case. The map shows lab-confirmed cases, that we know there are many more cases across the community. The zip code feature is live. However, we've caught an error. There was an error that is being corrected at this moment. There was a big jump up in cases in Kenmore, and they said that doesn't seem right. And what we think happened is there was a mistake between the Kenmore zip code and the Orchard Park zip code. One of them is 14217, the other one is 14127, and so that's being adjusted right now. We want people to understand that sometimes there can be issues or errors, and we're fixing that one right now because we had the Father Baker Manor outbreak, and we didn't see an uptick in Orchard Park, and something was wrong, and we realized that some of the Orchard Park ones were listed as Kenmore because one of the numbers associated with the zip code have been adjusted. So this is an example of why we sometimes are a little leery about zip code, because if it's just one number off, it can totally skew what are the results for that area. So that's being fixed right now, and I want people to understand that. Another thing we've had is we know that there is a larger number in the 14215. That seems to be the biggest one. That's the east side of Buffalo. 14215 is a very densely populated area. And we also, in the first week to 10 days, saw no cases whatsoever in 14215, or for that matter, anywhere on the east side of Buffalo. We have seen growth, especially in the last week. And what we believe, though we don't have definitive proof yet, is a lot of testing of healthcare workers has gone on in the last week. And we believe, because there is a high propensity of individuals that live in the 14215 that are healthcare workers with various hospital systems in the area, we think a number of the tests that are positive are individuals who are actually healthcare workers in the 14215 zip code. So I want people to understand we do not have all the existing data, know everything about a person who's tested positive. People have asked us for racial data. We don't always get that, so it's very difficult to do an average on the race for the individuals that test positive. We should be able to identify the race for those who have deceased. We're working on that, but unfortunately, sometimes when you're dealing with numbers, you can have you can have one number off and it can skew a whole bunch of things. So we know there was a problem with the Kenmore and Orchard Park numbers. Those are being fixed as we speak. And with regards to 14215, We know that there are a number of individuals that are residents of that community who have it, but also a good portion of those appear to be healthcare workers, and that's a big concern of ours, are healthcare workers who are contracting that in hospitals and other locations. So we're keeping a very close eye on that. Face coverings, doctor.
Sure. So as you know, this past weekend, the CDC started recommending that, you know, people that are going out in the community wear some type of covering over their face. You know, since the supply of these type of medical masks are in short supply, and we really need them for our healthcare workers, as our county executive just mentioned, there are some other suggestions of by CDC of how people can make their own face covering or a type of mask. So there are some basic tenets. You want to make sure that it works for you, and you want to make sure that it fits snugly, but it's not uncomfortable against your face. You want to make sure that it covers your nose and your mouth. You want to make sure you have a good snug fit.
Like
and
this?
Exactly. Very nice. And you want to make sure that it has multiple layers of fabric. So, and I'll show you a picture just now, using a T-shirt, you know, two sides of a T-shirt, or using a bandana, folding it in half or a third, so you have multiple layers of fabric. You want to make sure it has ear loops, so it can be snugly fit onto your face. And you want to make sure that you can breathe through it, or else you won't be able to wear it very long. And then you want to make sure that it's something that can be laundered, you know, at least once a day. Because we all know, you know, we all wear clothes every day. We all know fabric picks up a lot of dirt and it sticks. So we want to make sure that those are kept clean. Thanks. So here is one recipe for a no-sew facial mask made out of cloth using a T-shirt. And although, I mean, I'll have to use one of these strategies, although I come from a long line of tailors, I have no ability to sew myself any clothing. So what you need here is just simple, an old T-shirt. I'm sure we all have old T-shirts at home. Scissors. So you want to cut along the bottom of the T-shirt, and then you want to cut out a space where you can use for the ties. And then you want to make sure that you tie it, fit it to your face, and tie it up. And that's one strategy. So again, you don't have to sew to do that. And then the other strategy is by using a bandana. So what you would do here is fold the bandana, depending on the size of your face, either in half or thirds. And here you want to, it'd be great if you can put some type of coffee filter, because usually a bandana is pretty light material. And so again, that can help filter out the particles in the air. And so you want to put a rubber band on each end, and then you can slide the bandana mask over your ears using the rubber bands. So here is an example of what I tried to put together. You see I have rubber bands on each end, and then I can just put it over me, hook the rubber bands over. I have to tighten it, but did work before, of course. But anyway,
I think you have to fold those.
Yeah, a little bit more. But yes. Anyway, it can work. So that's something that you all can try at home.
Thank you, doctor. Yesterday I talked about the three Ps, and today we're going here showing you how to make no-sew bandanas. It's a different time than we ever anticipated. New York pause orders, we've had a lot of folks commenting about the discussion I had yesterday, and of course the governor talked about it today, that the New York pause orders are in effect. He has extended those to April 29th, so there will be no school at least through April 29th, and non-essential businesses must be closed through April 29th. There is the phone number, 1-833-789-0470, to call. Employees can make complaints about employers at the link that's on the screen. You can find that at the New York State Department of Labor site. The governor noted earlier, The governor noted earlier regarding the New York State pause orders, they are enforceable by local law enforcement. And as I talked to yesterday, I talked to the mayor as well as Supervisor Culper from Amherst, so Mayor Brown from Buffalo, and Buffalo PD and Amherst PD were going out today, is my knowledge, to take a look and potentially fine and shut down violators from non-essential businesses. I also spoke to Joe Eminger of the town of Tonawanda because we had a lot of complaints regarding DuPont. The town of Tonawanda PD went to DuPont, and based on their analysis, were determined that DuPont had the right to be open. Remember, we don't make the rules on that. New York State, Empire State Development does, but they did confirm it. So I want to thank Joe Eminger and the town of Tonawanda Police Department for following up on those complaints regarding DuPont. But you can call your local police department. If you believe someone is violating it, you do not necessarily have to call this 800 number here. As the governor noted, there are fines that are available. The fines vary based on from disorderly conduct of a $250 fine to a willful violation of the public health law, which could be a $10,000 fine and a year imprisonment. There are different gradients based on what violation exists. The governor talked about a $1,000 fine. I talked about a $2,000 fine. It depends on what part of the law is being imposed. So there's different gradients that can be in place here. But it's up to local law enforcement to enforce the pause orders. So you don't have to wait for New York State to do it. You can call your local law enforcement and let them know that you believe a business or others are violating the law, and they can enforce the law. And others have gone out in the last day and done that. Holiday gatherings. Doctor, would you like to talk about this?
Sure. So we know this week is a time of holiday. There's Good Friday, there's Easter, there's Passover on Wednesday night for us. And these times are for people to get together. They're time for usually people congregate to pray and gather. And we're hoping that everybody will stay safe and healthy. And people, we're asking everybody to please try to avoid these large gatherings. A friend of mine told me that she was driving through Hamburg yesterday and saw one of the church parking lots packed with cars. So we know it's really important for us to observe our religious holidays and pray, and it's very normalizing for us to go through the routines of our traditional customs. However, this year, we have to be a little different, and we have to figure out how we can do this safely in our own homes without large groups within your own family. And you could be innovative, being connected by Zoom. That's what we're doing with a big family Seder, and we're actually including family from California in that. We've never been able to do before. You can do, conference calling, and there could just be a lot of, FaceTime, a lot of innovative methods, but we really have to stay safe. These holidays are for us to worship and celebrate, and not for us to fall ill and get infected with a potentially very serious and deadly virus. So let's try to keep it safe and celebrate at home with our family and bring others together through social media like Zoom or our Facebook or even just by phone.
Yes, Good Friday is, of course, the most solemn day with regards to the Christian calendar, and Easter the most joyous. Unfortunately, this is one where you really need to stay out of your church, your congregation. We don't want you to get sick. We want you to enjoy and celebrate the holidays from home. It also means that the usual big festivity you may have on Easter, which with my family means pierogi and kielbasa and ham, I'm going to probably not have that this year because we're not going to have that celebration with my family. But I'd much rather have my family afterwards than them getting sick and not being around so that we can celebrate future Easters and Christmases. So we just ask everyone to follow the rules of physical distancing and proper social distancing. If you do that, we will all get through this. I don't want to hear the stories of churches being open on Good Friday or Easter and then the stories that happen after that of people getting sick. And I do want to commend Bishop Scharfenberger, the Albany bishop who is overseeing the Buffalo Diocese right now, for making an early decision to close the churches, which I know is a very difficult decision, and a lot of people were not 100% happy with it, but we believe that action alone has helped save lives.
So again, we want people to stay home, just only go out for essential shopping and errands. That would be going to the grocery store to get food, that's essential. Going to the pharmacy if you need to get medication, although we know that all the chain pharmacies and many of the independent pharmacies are offering free home delivery. So, you know, don't go out, please don't go out to like, a Target or a Walmart just to hang out for fun, just to do something different because you're bored. I mean, that can result in a really, really serious infection that could end up requiring, you know, hospitalization or death. So, you know, it's just not worth it. The cost is just not worth it. So just please, you know, stay home, you know, be respectful to our community. You know, let's all work together to keep this social distancing going. And, you know, staying home will save lives. We've seen this with our hospital rates flattening off. And again, that's because what we were doing 1 and 2 weeks ago. And so if we're still continuing to do that, we'll see this curve stay flat and out instead of up too high where we can't really manage the level of illness.
Once again, the pause order, orders were, slides are a little out of order, but the pause orders are in effect and through April 29th. They are enforceable by local law enforcement. And if there was a willful violation of the health law, and this is pointing out to the businesses out there, it is potentially a criminal misdemeanor up to a $10,000 first-time violation. Just your first offense can be a $10,000 fine and or year in imprisonment. So if you are willfully putting people in danger, you are really at risk of a potential serious charge. And then this really bothered me. I talked to the Erie County District Attorney today on a number of things, but Erie County District Attorney John Flynn announced today that there are reports of individuals intentionally spitting or coughing on law enforcement officers. I've seen some really strange and heard some really strange things in the last few days. This one really bothered me. Our law enforcement officers are putting their lives at risk every day to protect us. But there's been quite a number of law enforcement officers who've tested positive for COVID-19. The district attorney is letting everybody know that potential charges may include attempted assault in the second degree, a Class E felony, menacing in the third degree, a Class B misdemeanor, and harassment in the second degree, a violation. So if you think it's funny and you think that I'm going to spit or cough at a police officer, do it at your own risk. Because even if you don't have COVID-19, you can be charged with any one of these. And if you do have COVID-19 and you do that, I guarantee you, you're going to get a Class E felony against you, an attempted assault in the second degree. So anybody who thinks it's funny to spit at an officer, cough at them, it never is appropriate to do that. But certainly in the situation here where then you could be putting at risk and infecting an officer of the law. Reported incidents will be investigated and prosecuted by the district attorney's office. And I thank the district attorney for noting this earlier, as well as informing me about it so that we could get this information out to the public. I mean, there's some really strange things that we've been dealing with in the last week. We know people are dealing with cabin fever and the like, but some of the stuff that's coming in through our sewage treatment plants is making us shake our heads. This report, not just one, but reports of individuals doing it is making me shake my heads. Be better, folks. We are all in this together. We're only going to get through this if we all act appropriately together. Be your brothers and sisters' keeper. And if you do that, we'll get through this. But if you continue the nonsense, the stupidity of things like this and some of the other stuff we've heard about, it's only going to make it tougher for all of us to get through this together. So let's do this together. I put my flag out today to show solidarity with my brothers and sisters in the community, as well as our state and nation, that we can get through this together. Put your flag out. It's a beautiful day outside. Put your flag out. If you don't have a flagpole, put a flag picture in the window just to show everybody that you are united with everyone else to get through a coronavirus. And that's the only way we're going to get through it, if we act appropriately together and understand we're doing this not just for ourselves, but for each and every one of us. That's how we will get through it. Big thank you. Thank you to everyone out there who's doing great work on behalf of the community. Someone today with chalk put this onto the driveway entrance to our garage in the Rath building. I want to thank them for doing that. Don't know who did it, but it was a nice thing to see when we pulled into work today. Big thank you to those who've donated items to county government. These were actually donated, some of these new masks that were made up by folks. We've had people donate food, and we're going to be giving a list of those in the next couple days of those who made donations too. I really appreciate it. It means a lot when we hear of a company or someone who said, hey, We're struggling a little bit, but we wanted to donate some food for you because we know you guys are working hard. So a big thank you to everyone else out there. Doctor, any other things on that?
Yeah, and I also want to thank volunteers that have been helping us in epidemiology and our COVID-19 response. You know, we really, really appreciate the help, and we really value it. And you can see that the numbers are growing and growing and growing. So if you're a medical student and you or a an MP, somebody with an MPH or an MPH student or a physician that is looking to do something different because they're not seeing patients right now, and you're willing to work with us at least 20 hours a week, give our office a call, and we would really be happy to take you on to help us with this response.
Thank you. Once again, finally, the COVID call center, 716-858-2929. Open from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Their volume has gone up and down. I went down there earlier and it was a little slower, but I heard it was very busy earlier. A lot of people are calling questions about nursing homes because we know people are concerned about what is the outbreak at Father Baker Manor. Catholic Health System is working with the New York State Department of Health on a containment strategy for both their patients as well as employees. We are keeping track of other nursing homes, too, because we do not want to see something happen elsewhere, but we know it may happen just because nursing homes have elderly people and they have a higher propensity of contracting this and getting sick. Everyone has the same propensity of contracting it, but you have a much higher propensity of getting sick if you're older. So a lot of people had questions about nursing homes. If you have a hypothetical, please don't call on a hypothetical. We prefer that you're actually asking a legitimate question about your own health or something related to a family member. If you have questions on services, always call 211. You can call 311 in the city of Buffalo, but 211 through the rest of the county. And of course, we have great information online at www.erie.gov/COVID-19, which we are constantly updating daily. So that we can give the most accurate information to the public. Once again, our resource page, erie.gov/COVID-19. And with that, I will open it up to questions from the members of the media.
So WBEN Buffalo, WKSE HD3 Niagara Falls, a radio.com station.
B News. Buffalo Business First. If not, Sandra Tan from the Buffalo News.
Yes, hi, thank you. I'm wondering if you guys have updated age, range, and gender information for those who have contracted COVID-19, as well as those who, similar breakdown for those who have been hospitalized and died.
We will later today. Generally, we get the numbers first with regards to the actual increases. And that's part of the information we receive, but it takes a little longer to update that into our presentation. So we should be able to release age ranges with genders with regards to those who've tested positive, as well as those that are deceased later today. We do have those.
And just, Sandra, the way that we receive the data is we're receiving positive test results throughout the day, and so at the end of the day, we collate all that, look at our new positives, and add them to the pot of total positives, and then we look at demographics. So it's, you know, again, we're receiving information, new test results throughout the day, and at the end of the day, we look at the numbers, and that includes ages and locations.
Okay, great. We'll look forward to getting in.
Thank you. Next, Investigative Post. If not, Spectrum Buffalo, Aaron.
Hey, I have two questions in terms of the number of tests available. So the district attorney is saying that anyone who is caught intentionally spitting on a police officer, like you talked about earlier, is going to be prosecuted but also tested. And then also the
Foster Bakers. I didn't say tested. I don't know about that.
The DA had said that when we talked to him. So that was the question. And then Father Baker, they were able to rapidly test all those people so quickly.
Yes, Catholic Health acquired the rapid test kits from Cepheid. They had about 800, and they tested all the patients as well as the staff that was not tested by Erie County that went through Catholic Health.
Okay.
Okay. WBEN, Mike Baggerman.
Michael? Hey, Mark. Just as kind of another question regarding the rapid testing capabilities. You know, we just heard about Catholic Health today. Is Erie County going to have any sort of rapid testing capabilities in the near future?
We are looking at acquiring some rapid tests or some additional testing technology. As you can imagine, it's a very hot market right now. And so we're in competition with all the other laboratories, not only in the United States and globally. And also the federal government has a say in where tests go also. So we're trying our hardest. I assume we will eventually get a rapid test. However, I can't say when that will be. We are trying. We're trying all vendors. We're trying to go through government sources. We are trying.
We have attempted to get...
What separated Catholic Health from what you guys are doing?
They have this test through Cepheid, which uses a different type of analytical tool than we do.
Right, it's a different machine, too. It's a different type of testing technology. It's a rapid test that they were able to acquire the machine and a limited number of test kits. I mean, you'll have to talk to them about how many tests they're able to do. I know it is a limited number.
Yeah, and we've attempted to get the Abbott Laboratories test analyzer as well as kits, and we've been told that pretty much they're not authorized to provide them to local public health labs. They have to go either the CDC or state. I do know the state is in the process of acquiring a number of them, but I don't think that they've been able to get enough to actually farm any of them out to us or other public health labs. So what the Catholic Health is using is a different testing type than ours, and they've only got a limit, though. It's not like they have an unlimited amount. They only had 800 sample type to come in. We don't use that, so we have a little different testing, which is the original version of testing that had been approved, and ours takes a little longer. We would love to get the rapid, but we can only get what's available on the market. And because everyone is trying to get it, I mean, people seem to think that, like, we're the only ones that are dealing with this. It's everywhere now. It's in every state. And we're very worried that because everyone is trying to fight, and we know there's a fight between countries, and there's a big fight right now between the United States and Canada with regards to PPEs, and they're trying to get the same equipment, that it just makes it very difficult when it's such a tight market.
And also, like, we really want to make sure that we get a good, valid test that gives us credible test results. And there are many tests out there on the market with a lot of claims. However, we decided we are only going to stick to trying to acquire testing that has been reviewed and approved by the FDA, because we want good testing technology here. It really doesn't do us any good to have a test if it doesn't work well.
Mm-hmm. WBFO? Anybody on the line? WBLK? WGRZ, Steve Brown.
Good afternoon. I'd like to hear more about this zip code, 14215 on the east side. When did the cases start emerging, and how was it identified that there was a large concentration of healthcare workers there that were testing positive?
Well, it started to increase a little over a week ago. The first week to 10 days, there was almost no cases on the east side of Buffalo, or for that matter, the west side of Buffalo. When we started to see community transmission is when we started to see it in other parts of not only Erie County, but the city of Buffalo. And then it was about a week ago, we started looking at the zip codes internally and realizing that there was this increase. Now, if we had released the zip codes initially, it would have created a false sense of security to people on the east side and west side that I can't get this. There's no one here that's getting it. Now we've released the zip code so people understand that there are areas of concern. The 14215 is a very heavily, densely populated area, and it also does have quite a number of healthcare workers. We see the names. We can't release the names. But we see the names, and I can talk to the various hospital officials, Jody LeMay of Kaleida, Tom Krichocci at ECMC, Mark Sullivan at Catholics, Candace Johnson at Roswell Park, and they're testing a lot of their staff as well as patients. And a lot of the tests that are coming in the 14215 zip code are those that are being performed by the healthcare providers on patients as well as staff. So we've seen this increase. And it's not all staff. I'm not saying that every person is a staff member. There are individuals or just general populace that are getting this. But we have seen in the last week to 10 days this increase. If we had this conversation last week, 14215 would not have been the top zip code. It would have probably been fourth or fifth, but it would not have been the top.
And Steve, remember, the people that are testing positive are reflective of the individuals that we're testing. So we're testing healthcare workers that are on the front line and anybody working in the hospital that's on the front line. We're testing police. We're testing fire. We're testing EMTs, any first responders, anybody front of the line. So that's the denominator of the people testing positive. And so it just turns out that 14215 is a population dense area. And they many individuals that live in that area work in those fields. And so they're getting tested because they're being exposed because of their occupation. And then there's something we want to do from them. We want to remove them from the workforce temporarily and then make sure that we know when it's safe for them to return. And that's who getting tested. And so that's why you're seeing positives in that area.
Sure, but I was just wondering if hospitals have reported back to the county saying, hey, this was causing them an issue with staffing, having this concentration of folks that seem to be testing at a higher concentration positive in this particular zip code.
The zip code, but they were telling us that, yes, they're seeing increases in their staffing. They weren't necessarily pointing to any particular zip code, but we know that one of the, as I said, the zip code map has a little error between Kenmore and Orchard Park, so I want to be careful. Kenmore does not actually have 53, and Orchard Park does not have whatever it says 29. Those are actually a little wrong, but like South Buffalo, 14220 38, we also know that there's a lot of healthcare workers that live in South Buffalo. Cheektowaga, 14225 and 226 have a lot of healthcare workers. So it's not just one zip code. We've seen healthcare workers from across the county that have tested positive. And what the hospital units have said, like you've seen downstate, is they're worried that they will get to a point where if they have so many staff members who are testing positive, that it will affect their ability to provide services. It hasn't reached that point yet, but we are concerned. And that's why we've been saying, don't go to the ER, call your doctor first. You may not have COVID-19, but if you go to the ER, there are people there who are going to have COVID-19, and you're putting yourself at risk, and of course the healthcare workers are being put at risk. So once again, I want a big shout out to healthcare workers because they're doing an incredible job knowing that people are coming in that they deal with are going to have COVID-19. So it is a concern, and I just want people to understand it's not just one zip code. There are healthcare workers from all across Erie County who are putting themselves at risk, and some of them have become infected with COVID-19. WIVB? If none, WKBW, Allie Tuohy.
Hi, good afternoon. I know that we have been talking now at length about 215 and the cluster there, but we know that it's an overly dense populated area. We know that there are high-risk individuals in that area. So my question is the county going to do anything specifically for that area, knowing that that area also has little access to testing right now?
Well, they actually have lots of access to testing if they qualify under the protocols. I don't want people to think they're not getting access to testing. There is no place that's getting more tests than others because there's an open test for a location. I don't want people to think we're having walk-in testing in Amherst but not in Buffalo. That is not the case. As we've noted, if you meet the protocols with healthcare workers, law enforcement, and the like, you will be tested by the county. But there's many other partners out there that are testing, including healthcare providers. We are treating all areas the same. We are concerned about 215. I've been in touch with leaders of the faith-based community. I've talked to the mayor about it. If we had this conversation a week ago, we would not have even mentioned 215 or 10 days ago because it had not reached us a number. But we are under the impression that all areas of Erie County have it. We've got proof of that from tests that have tested positive. But right now, we're looking and working with our healthcare partners to try to address the issue across all of Erie County, We are concerned about the east side of Buffalo because we have been concerned in the past because of health disparities that exist, additional comorbidity issues that exist on the east side of Buffalo, and we are working with our healthcare partners to address that. Doctor?
Right, we are testing people like our essential employees, our healthcare workers, our first responders, because there's something we're going to do with that information. If that person is positive, we know we have to remove them from the workforce for at least 7 days. Also, they have to alert their contacts and they have to monitor themselves and make sure that they don't develop any fever symptoms. And then we know when they can return to the workforce safely and wear a mask. And we know all our healthcare workers are wearing masks now, and that would include the first responders that for another 7 days, they have to wear a mask. So there's something that we're doing with the information. We know there are people in the east side and the west side of Buffalo and throughout Erie County that have other chronic conditions. And if they develop COVID-19 or another type of viral infection where there is no treatment, there's nothing different we would do with that information. So it's really important that's why we have to stay vigilant on the preventive side using our non-pharmaceutical interventions, because right now there is no pharmaceutical treatment. So that's why we have to be very careful with social distancing or physical distancing, hand washing, keep frequently touched surfaces clean. Again, if somebody is COVID-19 positive and they're not an essential employee, there's nothing new or different we would do with them. And so we should treat everybody as though they could be at risk for COVID-19, especially our most vulnerable, and make sure that they stay safe, they stay indoors, they stay away from other people that could cause illness. That's the best we can do for our individuals.
Western New York Media, are you on? Is there any other media outlet I have not called on? If not, we'll go back to Sandra from the Buffalo News.
Yes, hi. I'm interested to know how many test kits the public health lab has left, and at your current rate of use, how long will that last you? And also, I don't know if you've gotten any update as to when additional testing material will be coming in.
Did you ever want to ask about deaths and what we really need to do, which is prevent the further community spread? That's what we need to be talking about, is preventing the further community spread. There's a reason why the governor extended this until April 29th, I believe. We have additional test kits coming in, but test kits don't prevent COVID-19. What prevents COVID-19 from being spread is people following the rules, staying home, stopping the spread to save lives. And I say that because in the last 36 hours, I've received text messages, I've seen Facebook posts about individuals who've lost loved ones. People that I know, someone I know lost a brother, a public official lost a sister-in-law, and the public official was taking it seriously, but now is just very despondent because the person was very healthy, and within a very short period of time, their sister-in-law passed. I know a person who lost a friend, and I think people are focusing on the wrong thing. They can't see the forest through the trees. Testing matters, but it's not going to prevent us from continuing to have cases. We can continue to test. We're having more, but the continual focus on testing is missing the big picture. You need to focus on the big picture. Doctor, you want to answer the question of the reporter?
We feel comfortable that working with our hospital partners, remember, it's not just the Erie County Public Health Lab, it's Kaleida, it's Catholic Health, it's ECMC, it's Roswell. So collectively as a community, we feel comfortable right now that we're able to meet the needs of testing our essential employees in our community. And we're working together to do that. So it's, again, it's not just what Erie County has. It's collectively we're working together with our hospital system laboratories to make sure that all our essential employees are tested. And right now, looking at the big picture as the community as a whole, we feel confident we have enough tests to test our essential employees with and use those results to take action to keep other essential employees healthy and safe.
And they also want to end the false narrative that we are the only place in the United States that is not testing. Yes, it started out a little slow here. I'm not happy about that. I think we've all known that. But even in New York City, where they've had thousands and thousands and thousands of tests. I mean, we're talking about a place with 10 million people. And if you talk to the folks in New York City, they don't feel that they've tested enough. You talk to the folks in Long Island, they don't feel they've tested enough. I talk to my colleagues across the United States, and they're like, I don't know how you guys got as many tests as you have for a community your size. And it's basically because New York has been at the forefront, and we are getting more tests now and working with our partners, including Roswell Park, Kaleida Health, Catholic Health Systems, and ECMC. They are all doing testing as well, and some private entities are doing testing locally. A number of medical offices are doing testing. I see the test reports, and I can see where their positives are coming in, and almost the vast majority of them are actually coming in from outside the Erie County Public Health Lab. So the constant focusing on testing is missing the big picture, which is we need to stop the community spread. And testing, no matter how many tests we do, will not prevent that. It just helps our healthcare workers know if an individual is positive or not.
Obviously, it's just one tool of many. So do you have a breakdown of how many tests are now actually being done of all the positive tests by public, by private labs?
We know exactly every test that's being done when we get the report from New York State. I don't know exactly who's doing each one of those other than what we do internally. So we do not get a breakdown on how many are being done by each of the entities from New York State. All we get is the total amount. And then we can just deduct how many we did internally that we know through the Erie County Public Health Lab, but I don't know exactly how much are being done by each of those. Correct, Doctor?
Right. I mean, we have over 1,000 cases. Our epidemiology unit is working so hard just to make sure that everybody is aware of their test results, making sure that people that are positive are kept in isolation. We're following those individuals once or twice a day, making personal phone calls. I mean, that's what we have to know. That's what we have to spend our resources on, not figuring out who did what tests. This is a pandemic. We have to respond. We have limited resources, and that's what we have to focus on, is making sure that people test positive are aware of their status, people that test negative are aware of their status, and that people that are test positive, they're removed from the workforce, they remain in isolation, and they remain, and then also that they remain healthy, and they know when they can return to the workforce.
I mean,
that's what we're focusing on.
We're dealing with a lot of issues, including trying to get additional test kits, but additional PPEs. We're hearing stories of PPEs that are being intercepted at locations of delivery by the federal government, by states. The PPEs that we are anticipating receiving by the 10th, we've been told we're not going to get those on the 10th. Why? Because the Chinese manufacturers of the parts have basically stopped making delivery of those parts. So now we're going through other resources, and today we actually had a very good conversation with a logistics firm that believes they're going to be able to get us some PPEs in the next few days. But it's we're competing against the world. And people are thinking, well, let's do a comparison how we are against Rochester area. We're competing against the world. We're competing against people in Topeka, Kansas. We're competing against people in San Diego, California, just as much as we're competing against people in Buenos Aires and in Seoul, Korea, and Scotland and France. So we're working very hard to get test kits from every place we possibly can, but just as much with the PPEs. And PPEs are in demand, and there's a big fight between countries right now on PPEs just as much as there are test kits. I said this before, I'll say it again. It's just one example why we shouldn't be offshoring so many of our products, especially to one country, China, because in a pandemic, it puts us well behind the eight ball, and hopefully after this, our country will realize it's okay to pay a few dollars more for PPEs and things like that if you can actually build them and make them in the United States rather than have them come from China. So it's a constant battle, whether it's testing kits or it's PPEs. Aaron from Spectrum, do you have any more questions? Mike Baggerman from BEN.
Oh, sorry, Aaron's still here.
Aaron, please ask if you have a question.
Yep, sorry about that. Just wanted to get an update. I know that you had requested antibody tests for Erie County. But who's the actual gatekeeper in charge of releasing those tests to the county? Is it the federal government or the state government?
Well, my understanding is that the the state government is right now trying to help. The federal government is trying to help state governments, and they're really dictating where these tests go right now. So again, we are trying our hardest and trying to work through the vendor, trying to work through the state, and we're doing our best. And remember, the antibody tests are given a limited amount of information. We can't use that for diagnosis, because if somebody has an antibody positive, we don't know if they're currently infected or if they were recently infected. The tests might be negative if the person is recently infected, because they may not have detectable antibodies. And also, we're hoping that if somebody is antibody positive, that they have some level of immunity. However, we don't know how effective the natural immunity is, and we don't know how long it will last. So again, this is hopefully one tool that we will eventually be able to acquire. I don't know if we really, the world of science knows enough now to be able to make, strong conclusions, even based on those test results. So again, we're working to get the best that we can. Right now, we have a strong, solid test to diagnose an active case of COVID-19, and we think we're judiciously using our testing technology for our essential workers to make sure that they stay healthy and safe and keep them in the workforce.
Okay, thank you. Mike Baggerman, are you still there? Any questions?
Yep, just a quick question from me. Since the numbers are updated on the heat map there, is the death count still at 27, or has that increased also?
That is the same, thankfully. As I said, they'll be updating the map. They were cleaning up the issues with the zip code, so the confirmed cases are still behind where we said they were with regards to the PowerPoint presentation. But the death toll, we can confirm, is still the same. So there are 1,149 positive cases in Erie County. 27 people have perished, unfortunately. And once again, I do offer my deepest condolences to all the family members and friends. As I know it, I don't know anybody personally who has passed, but I do know people who've lost loved ones, and I do offer my deepest condolences to them. The numbers you see on the screen are the most active correct numbers. Steve Brown or Emily Watkins of WGRZ?
Yeah, I do have one more question. In regards to the convention center, how goes the progress of converting that? What is the space potentially in terms of beds, if it's known right now? And if it's ready, is it possible for us to be able to show the public what it looks like?
Well, first off, there's nothing that's been done there, so there's nothing to see. I actually talked to two high-ranking officials today with the governor's office, Larry Schwartz and John Maggiore, about that. They're keeping track, just like we are, of hospitalizations and ICU. That is still dependent upon us needing them. They're not going to build the hospital and authorize the building of the hospital unless it looks like we need it. I'm hoping we don't. The one advantage we've seen, going into the next slide, is that the hospitalizations have increased, but they have not jumped up at a huge rate like they were earlier. They seem to have leveled off a little bit, and we're very, very happy to continue to see the ICU and airway assists have leveled off. There's only 100, so we still have, I believe, more than 100 ICU beds in our hospitals, and more than 1,000 beds in total in the hospitals that are available. So we have nothing to show you, nothing to report. There's nothing that's been done at the convention center. The conversations are still going with the state. They're monitoring the hospitalization like us. If the hospitalization rates did jump up dramatically, including the ICU rates, then I think we might be having a different conversation.
Do you have a ramp-up time? If it showed, how long would it take to transform the convention center?
I've been told it could basically be built in 3 to 4 days. It's a process in which the Army Corps of Engineers designs it. They would basically do the construction of it in working along with FEMA, which would provide the beds, the separation between units, the nursing stations, The other thing is we have to also man it, so we'd be working with the state to man it with either current local staff, retirees, or individuals that would be called up from reserve or guard units. But thankfully, right now, we don't need it. My understanding is along the Great Lakes, because the Army Corps of Engineers in Buffalo handles basically all the way to past Rochester and past Cleveland, is the only one that they're in the process of actually approving and being built right now is in Cleveland, and then the other ones are in New York City. I was very, very pleased earlier today when I heard the governor say that their hospitalization and ICU units, they seem to be handling it. The USS Comfort is going to be used for non-COVID-19 patients. That's a really good sign because we were worried that they were going to be pushing COVID-19 patients upstate. That seems to be less of an issue now. So if they are reaching their peak and they're able to hold and control and deal with the hospitalization rates downstate, it's going to make our lives so much easier. So I'm hoping we don't have to turn the convention center into one. If we do, we know we have the it's a location that can do it, and but we'd have to rely on our partners in the federal government to actually build it.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Allie Toohey from KB. Are you there? If not, it's basically been an hour. I appreciate everyone. They're continued good work. We have had evidence and scenes of individuals who are not following the social distancing guidelines, but the vast majority of you are, and I want to thank you for doing that. I think it's very important that we continue to follow those. One of the reasons that this hospitalization chart is as it is, even though we've seen big jumps in the last few days with regards to our caseload, is because I think people are following the physical distancing guidelines, the social distancing guidelines. It has kept our numbers manageable. We don't like to see increases in hospitalization with COVID-19. And while there have been increases in general, that red and that green dotted line are staying in a manageable area. If we can keep it at 100, no more than 150 ICU, we're still going to have other ICU units available. And remember, we also need other ICU units available for those who have other types of injuries or illnesses. So we don't want to get to a point where we've completely utilized all our ICU beds solely on COVID-19. And if we can continue following our proper social guidelines, distancing guidelines, and keep these numbers down with regards to hospitalizations, we will also keep down the number regarding deaths. We have a number that scares the heck out of me if we do not follow proper social distancing guidelines. And the only way that that is going to happen is if we just ignore the rules and continue to do whatever the heck we want. I'm grateful that some of our local partners are taking this seriously as well, like the City of Buffalo, the Town of Amherst, the Alex Ricks Peace Park was a skate park was shut down today by Brian Culpa, the supervisor, because people and families and kids weren't following it. We've heard stories of kids congregating outside their schools. Not good. Because there are children under the age of 18 who are contracted COVID-19 and they can pass it on to other members in their family, and maybe that other member in their family is much more at risk than the child. So we need everyone to follow the rules. I know teenagers and the people in their 20s think they're invulnerable. Well, we got a bunch of people in their 20s who have it, a lot of people in their 30s and 40s. And the one thing I heard in the last 24 hours from people who have lost loved ones is, I never thought it would strike my family. I never thought it would strike my friend. They seemed fine. They were fine 1 week ago. We were talking, and now they're no longer with us. That's what we're talking about, folks. We're talking about flattening the curve.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.